Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone that's able to be out, that's got the health and the desire, and we've got a good number. Rosemary, it's good to see you back. We're glad you had a safe trip. It's good to see everybody. A couple of things before we get into the lesson. Last week when I was talking about do you love Jesus and loving him, and one of the comments I made was that some people will do anything to promote their own cause, their own belief, and not promote the Lord's church. So I have a current example of that. When I was at the building this week, this was out at the bottom of the door, and this notebook was there inside that, where somebody is promoting his own belief. It's to the churches of Christ. And I was trying to look through to see who sent it, because it wasn't on the package, but it's got anonymous. So he didn't want to be known or be able to be contacted. But it's somebody that's trying, again, to promote a certain belief among the brethren in the brotherhood. And it just goes back to the question that Jesus asked Peter that we looked at, do you love me? Do you love me? That obviously is somebody that is wanting to promote their own belief. One other comment about the lesson. So I've been trying, as always, to do a variety of lessons and some more. I've been trying to do more about Jesus and encouraging us just to live the Christian life. This one was geared toward the visitors, and they aren't here this morning. The couple that has been coming, because as you can see on the title and in the bulletin, are all religious people saved. There are a lot of people that believe that they are saved. We want to see what the scriptures have to say. So I think this will be good for us, even though they aren't here, just to reinforce when we're talking to our friends and our family and neighbors that all religious people are not saved. But when you ask this question, are all religious people saved, many people would answer yes to that question. After all, if I'm a religious person, why would I think that I would not be saved? And what is religious? It's of or relating to or devoted to beliefs, observances. And after all, isn't one church as good as another? You hear that all the time. Well, use that logic in other areas of your life. If you're looking to get married, isn't one person as good as another? I think we would all say no. If you're catching a plane to go somewhere, isn't one plane as good as another? No, we want to get on the right plane. If you're going to see a doctor, isn't one doctor as good as another? No, you want the right doctor. If you're making an investment, isn't one investment as good as another? No. You can look back at all kinds of investments that have been big flops. So why be so careful in material matters and so careless in spiritual matters? So let's begin in the New Testament and just go through the New Testament. Let's start in Matthew chapter 23. Let's go through and look at some religious people that are recorded and see if they were saved or not. Matthew 23, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and said to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." Jesus goes through this whole chapter talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. You look down to verse 13. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Weren't the Pharisees religious people? They were very religious. Verse 14, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayers, therefore you will receive the greater condemnation. Verse 15, another woe. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves are. The scribes, who were they? They were the ones that were copying the law, writing it down. Were they religious people? They were, but he's calling them hypocrites. Verse 16, woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Verse 23, woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anan, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He goes on in verse 25, and he gives them another woe. Verse 27, woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 29, woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Weren't these religious people? These were the religious people of the time. Why were they lost? Why were they lost? They were religious but lost. Just a few reasons. Jesus said they said one thing, but they would not do it. They did their works to be seen of men. They shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. The kingdom of heaven, that's talking about the church. People were wanting to come into the church. The kingdom was being preached, and they would shut it up. They didn't want people coming into it. They would make a pretense of their acts of worship, their prayers. They omitted the weightier matters of the law. They strained at a gnat and swallowed a camel. They had their priorities wrong. Things that were little, they made really big, and things that were really big, they made little. They outwardly appeared to be righteous men, but within they were full of hypocrisy. So we see these religious people, but they were lost. Well, let's turn a couple more chapters in Matthew to Matthew 25. And here we have the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Matthew 25, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So in this parable of these virgins, were they religious people? Yes, they were. This parable says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. Again, the kingdom of heaven, that's talking about the church. These are religious people. Why were they lost? Why were they not saved? They were lost because they had not made enough preparation. And when they went to buy and the bridegroom came, verse 10, those who were ready went in with him to the wedding and the door was shut. They were religious, but they did not make the preparation they needed to, and they are going to be lost. In that same chapter in Matthew 25, if we drop on down to verse 14 down to 30, we have the parable of the talents and a man that was given one talent. Is this a religious person? Yes, again, in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So this is talking about religious people. Verse 15, and to one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then when he comes back, he starts talking with the people who he had given talents to. He commends them for what they have done. Verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But what did the man that he gave the one talent to? What did he say? That man said in verse 24, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Was God pleased with this man? He didn't lose anything. He didn't lose it. But in verse 26, the Lord answered him and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. To everyone who has, more will be given. He will have an abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this was a religious man. God had given him something. His master had given him something. He hadn't given him more than he could handle because he gives each according to his own ability. Was this religious person saved? No, he was going to be lost. Why was he going to be lost? Because he buried his talent. He buried his talent. He didn't use what God had given him. Let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we have an example again of another Pharisee. 18 and verse 9, and he also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and thanked and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So this Pharisee, he was like, he was a religious man. He says, I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, or adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Look at all the good that he did. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So we have that, and we have that in contrast to this tax collector that wouldn't even raise his eyes up as he was praying. The implication that I get from this is that this man, this Pharisee, was just looking up to God in boldness without any humility, telling God how good he was. So this Pharisee, why was he lost? He was religious, but he exalted himself. He exalted himself. In verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, a lot of religious people today that exalt themselves. They lift themselves up. If we want to be a child of God, we need to humble ourselves. This Pharisee did not approach God with humility. And he compared himself to the people round about him. Look at all that I've done. I'm not like this person or that person. And that'll get us into trouble. Because we can find people that we're better than all day long. But those people aren't the standard. We need to go back to God's Word and open up God's Word to see what the standard is. Let's go to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, we looked at this Wednesday evening with the eunuch. And it's interesting, again, I think, just to repeat, noting that there were five beings involved in this story: God, an angel, Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Holy Spirit. Each had their own part to play. And this man was religious. In verse 27, so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. That would have been a long trip for him, a long trip, and he was going there to worship. In verse 28, he was returning, sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. If he was reading, he had to be religious. He had to be saved, right? People today, a lot of people don't even read their Bibles and they think they're saved. They think they've got their ticket punched. Just like up here, they think they've got their ticket punched and they're going to make it to heaven. Verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading from the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? You know, we see with the eunuch here, this man, he was sincere. He was worshiping. He was reading the scriptures. And again, it would be very rare for an individual to have the scriptures. He was reading them. In verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. So stop and think about this man. He had been to worship, right? A lot of people would say, well, he was saved then. He went to worship. But we can only worship as God directs us, not vain worship. Was he a Bible reading man? Again, he was. He was reading the scriptures, the Old Testament. Well, why was he lost? Why was he lost? Because he had not obeyed the plan of salvation. And a lot of churches won't even tell you about the plan of salvation. They'll just say, just believe on Jesus. But here, this religious man, he was lost. And he needed someone to explain the scriptures to him. We don't have to go far in the book of Acts, and we come to another religious person in Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was, again, another very religious man. We find out when he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3, beginning at verse 4, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." So Saul was a very religious person. He was circumcised. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was very zealous. And concerning the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. So again, if you're thinking, is he saved or lost? A lot of people would say, well, sure, he's saved. But no, he was not. Saul also, he had a good conscience. We know that from later on in Acts, but his conscience had to be trained because he did things that he thought were right but were wrong. He had to change. He had faith because he wanted to know what to do. In Acts 9 and verse 6, "So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said, arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." Wasn't he saved by Jesus appearing to him on the road? No. Wasn't he saved because he had faith? No. We know he was penitent. In verse 9, he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. He was fasting, but he was still lost. He was still lost. Why was he lost, this religious man lost? Because he had not complied with the law of pardon. He had not been baptized. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 10, we have another religious person, Cornelius. There is a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So a very good man, good, honest, sincere, and people will say, well, he's got to be saved, and he was religious. But he was not saved. Why was he lost? He needed to hear the words of salvation and obey them. We drop down in Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. Well, let's start at 13. "And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved." He was lost because he needed to hear those words whereby he and his household would be saved. He needed to hear them and obey them. And again, it's interesting seeing all the people that are involved in the account of Cornelius, but it comes down to the person being obedient to the words that God says, not what God says, not if Jesus appeared to them, not if the Holy Spirit whispered something to them, not if an angel came to them. The same words that we can read today of what they must do to be saved. Let's look at one more example of some religious people, and we'll turn back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, and beginning at verse 14. "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works and that you are neither cold nor hot. I would wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to them and dine with them and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this church had to be saved, right? I mean, they were a church. They were a church of Christ. No, they weren't saved. And why weren't they saved? Because they were lukewarm. They were indifferent. They weren't on fire for the Lord. You know, looking at these eight examples, and there's more, but here's eight examples of religious people that thought they were saved, but they were not. Again, back to our text, Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, those are sad words. Those are sad words, and especially for religious people to hear them, because they are sadly mistaken, thinking that they are going to be saved. So friends, are all religious people saved? The answer is no. The answer is no. The more important question is, are you saved? Are you saved? Because we all call ourselves religious people, but are we saved? You know, again, just looking over the list we looked at, do we do our works to be seen of men? Do we shut up the church against men? We wouldn't be doing it like the Pharisees, but we can shut up the kingdom by not inviting people to come and be part of the kingdom. Do we do things for a pretense? Do we omit the weightier matters of the law? Do we have our priorities wrong? Do we appear to be religious and we say one thing, but we do something else? We can be religious like they were, but be lost. Or the foolish virgins, have you made enough preparation? Or the one talent man, doesn't matter how many talents God has given us, he expects us to use them. If we don't use them, we are going to be lost. The Pharisee and the tax collector, some are lost because they don't humble themselves before God. They exalt themselves and trust in their righteousness. Maybe you're like the eunuch. You've not obeyed the plan of salvation. Maybe you're like Saul. You have not complied with God's law of pardon. Or maybe you're like the church at Laodicea and you're just lukewarm. I just don't care. Doesn't matter. Friends, don't think that we've got our ticket punched and we're all headed to heaven. The Bible is full of examples of people that thought that they were headed there, but are not. But again, the most important question this morning is, are you headed to heaven? If not, make your life right. If you haven't been baptized, be baptized for the forgiveness of your past sins. If there's sin in your life, you need to repent of it, confess it. We will pray to God for you, with you, and help you to overcome that. If we can help anybody this morning being obedient, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.